Welcome back. Welcome back to the Rack Show. You're listening to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show with Frank Horvath and Tim Kelly. I'm Tim Kelly. That's Frank Horvath.
Hello,
and,
hello.
And we are here to talk to you about everything revolving around the Responsibly Armed Citizen. So it's a new year.
New year.
Before we get into the details of what we're going to discuss today, let's talk about how your new year is going for you.
My new year is fantastic. I had a good time with the family, all of the family. So we now have a pretty big herd underneath our roof as far as people and extended family that are temporarily living with us, which has been interesting. But all good things. Tim, how about you? How was your New Year's?
Everything's been good, man. Been doing a little hunting and had a great season there. The holidays were fantastic, so I got to spend a lot of time with the family and hang with the kids. I generally take the last couple of weeks off. That really didn't work last year. So, but I did get some good quality time with the family, so it's been nice.
Good. All right, so new year, new you, right? So what are your New Year's resolutions? Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
I don't feel very new today. When I woke up this morning, everything cracked and popped. So I feel very, very much like an old me rather than a new me.
I can relate to that. It's like, I don't know what it is. And I know there's going to be some old fud out there that's like, oh man, you're just not living life right. But man, ever since I turned 30 or something, some odd years ago, my knees, like every morning I get up and I, I'll stretch and it sounds like a bag of popcorn down there or something. Just pop, 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 snap, snap.
That's what it is, man. All right. So like what are our new responsibly armed citizen resolutions? I'll say last year was pretty awesome, man. We cranked out a lot of classes, taught a lot of private sessions, almost 1,500 private sessions last year. Like there was a lot of great things happening there, a ton of training.
Oh yeah,
man, got to travel all over the place and take classes and teach classes. The ones towards the end of the year, something I'm really, really happy with. The time I got to spend with the Rangemaster community, that symposium lecture. That was really, really awesome. Got to learn and take away from a lot of other, competent trainers across the country. And then a week later, me and Zach were up there taking the Professional Pistol Craft Instructor course, which is another really awesome class. Yep. Great accomplishment there. So I'm really looking forward to what the new year brings. We've got a lot of stuff happening and a lot of stuff coming up. As far as resolutions go, man, if I was going to put anything on it this year, I've really got to dive into to my study a little bit more, and I'm putting a lot of my specific focus into really trying to help trainers. So I'm of the belief that if we can build more competent trainers, then we have a better opportunity to meet our mission.
Yep, no, I completely agree. And I would say mine's similar to yours but different. So as most if not everybody knows that this past year my daughter was born. So as far as me getting out, especially early in the year, and doing like active training, going and taking classes, that kind of took a back seat to family, as it should.
Right.
And as part of that, I did a whole lot more reading, a whole lot more study, a whole lot more involvement in, intellectual things as far as intellectual skills than physical skills. Some of that's starting to show.
Yeah.
So my big, responsibly armed citizen resolution this year is really, get back in on the physical side, really get back in on, some of the things that I've slacked out off on. As far as getting out to the range, actually having true trigger time, doing those other skills that don't involve, a firearm, don't involve lethal force, and really start, focusing and honing in on that. I did have an opportunity to take two medical courses, last year, but this year I'm really looking forward to taking more of that, focus, heavy medical focus this year, and then heavy foundational skills focus for me this year. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Awesome.
The I was talking again, Zach. You know, Zach seems to be a common theme. I was talking with Zach about, you know, a couple of different things about, you know, what we're looking forward to this year and stuff that we're working on. And much like you, we're talking about, you know, developmental of, you know, students, developmental of other trainers, you know, really having a focus there. I've really latched on to developmenting. Anyway, words. helping him develop courses that help revolve around shotgun. Mm-hmm. So he has this phenomenal new shotgun 2-day that we've been working on together that I'm really excited. I'm really hoping that, you know, he's going to unveil sometime this year. I'm stoked about it.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I can't wait.
It's been awesome seeing that kid grow, man. Because he just kind of found his wings last year, mm-hmm. and just took off.
Yep.
And you know, this is to steal some of your language, like a bad rash. He just kept coming back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I kick him down every time he, you know, submit a, you know, some type of curriculum and be like, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is, you need to fix this. And man, it is back and forth with him so much anyway, mm-hmm. but I applaud him for his tenacity and consistency and just being persistent.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He's just right back at it.
Yeah.
And the contacts that he's made in the industry has been great too. He picked up last year a great contact with SDS Imports, who've been very supportive of what we do at Apache, mm-hmm. What Zach does and that type of thing. And you know, he's just taken it and ran with it. So it's been awesome to see him grow. I think he's got some like a shotgun maintenance class coming up either next month or in March or something like that. But other than that, I'm not sure when he's going to launch his next.
I'm pretty sure that shotgun maintenance class is next month in February.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, because it's after the pistol maintenance class that happens this month.
Right.
Actually, I think next week, maybe 2 weeks, we'll take a look at that. But yeah, so like I said, a lot of, you know, really good things that are coming down the pipe. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that I'm really proud of as far as, you know, the stuff that they're doing, you know, out around Apache with Apache Solutions, LLC. Derek Wright. Right. I'm really excited about him, you know, deciding to move forward with some of the concealed carry classes and really, you know, help fill in some gaps there. We got some pretty solid Google reviews from his, you know, performance. We had him on actually, I think it was probably one of the last shows that we did of 2023. He and a student in that class came and gave a little bit AAR of his concealed carry class.
Yeah.
So we really have that to look forward to this year. There's a lot of really good things, you know, coming down the pipe, and a lot of really good courses and classes that, you know, Apache is really starting to, you know, push forward and move. The website, ApacheNC.com. So we have all of our classes, all of our scheduling. That is live. That is ready to go.
No more Eventbrite.
No more Eventbrite. Yep. Goodbye, Eventbrite. So long. No more PayPal. Yeah. You know, we were able to get away from all that, go through our own payment processor. So we're not, you know, paying other companies now to fight against the, you know,
the very thing that we represent.
Exactly. Yeah, that's always so hard is, hey, you know, we need to have this particular service, but this monster company who, you know, provides this service, mm-hmm. is against what we, you know, what we live and breathe and, you know, our focus. It's the dichotomy of business. But
it's a tough one. I mean, we've been using them for quite some time. I'm glad we're done with it. The Apache website looks awesome, dude. I'm super excited about that and what it's going to bring.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
Speaking of other businesses, well, we're super supportive of WSIC. Really thankful for allowing us to come on and talk on here every week and for everything they've done for us.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And And welcome back. Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. I'm one of your hosts, Frank. Joined with me in studio is Tim, Tim Kelly, and we are talking about the new year, talking about all the fun things, new year, new you. What are your Responsibly Armed Citizen resolutions? It's kind of hard to make resolutions, right?
Right.
It's challenging to go, okay, what am I going to do different this year? And especially in our world, where do you start?
Right.
That's probably the hardest thing. So, what are some of the, as a responsible armed citizen, what are some of the skills, what are some of the things that I should be reaching out and learning now to make me better this year than I was last year?
Man, I think it starts with just being open-minded and patient. And this is anything like anything self-improvement focus, mm-hmm. right? So even like you were talking about getting your strength back, getting your, endurance back and that type of thing, and really starting to put a focus on your physical ability.
Yep.
That's a lot of people's New Year's resolutions. They want to get back into the gym. They mm-hmm. want to go run their mile. They want to go, do this or do that. But most of them are focused on, I want this end result.
Right.
Right. And so they go to the gym twice in a week, and then they'll go four times in a week. And then the next week they'll go three times. And then yep. the next week they'll go two times. And the next week they'll go once.
Yep.
And then after that, they're like, I don't have those, rock solid abs like I was hoping for. So
I didn't put in the time or the focus or the energy.
So what, this is a lot of hard work. Why do I keep going?
Right.
Right. Instead of just going two times a week
mm-hmm.
for the rest of the year
mm-hmm.
and just sticking to it the mm-hmm. best they possibly can. That's process focused.
Mm-hmm.
That's not being result focused. And I think if you can work hard to be process focused and be open-minded to change, be open-minded to learn new things, that's a great start.
Right.
That is a great start. You don't have to go to the store. You shouldn't rush off to the store and go grab, a brand new gun and some crappy holster and a whole bunch of ammo and go out in your backyard and start plinking and expect to see John Wick results.
Right.
It's just not, that's not the way this works.
Right.
Just like you if you expect to see, you expect to be physically fit, you don't go to the store, buy some gym shorts and brand new pair of Nikes, and then walk into the gym and think that you're just going to lift everything in there
right.
and all of a sudden be strong when you walk out. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So you've got to be patient. You have to be working on your patience. And you have to be working on your persistency.
And you really got to put in the work, right?
Right.
So, that's an excellent illustration. Really going in and seeking out other individuals, seeking out trainers, seeking out people who know where to start, know, what to work on. For example, I don't walk inside of a gym and just immediately start, picking up something and saying, yeah, these bicep curls are really going to help my ability to squat. Like you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the wrong
right.
skill for the wrong, for the wrong time. So, reaching out to that trainer, reaching out to that person, I can say, you know what, this is your end goal. This is, really draw out a path. This is how we're going to achieve your end goal. That was, we're the namesake of the Responsible Armed Citizen Show, right? The RAC program that we have at Apache, that program was developed and designed to really lay out, this is a pathway for somebody that of any skill level to be able to, us identify, where they're at, what they're capable of, what their capabilities are, what their, skill sets are, and then may add to that to achieve whatever their end goal is.
Right.
And it's different for everybody. That's the thing that, is I really appreciate about RAC is that, literally from any point of view, from any skill set, whether you are that John Wick type or whether you're that, okay, I know literally nothing about firearms. I did
right.
not grow up in a home with firearms. They can pick up, be educated, and then gradually grow on those skill sets in order to, meet whatever that end goal is.
Right.
Not everybody wants to be a John Wick.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Just like everybody, not everybody wants to walk into a gym and walk out as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
A young one, not today as Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right.
not Governor.
Right. the just in case we have new viewers here, or new listeners here, want to kind of give you an idea of what Frank's talking about. Apache Solutions Firearms Training in Yadkinville, North Carolina, is structured a lot like a gym with a private trainer. So folks come out and they sign up for a 1 hour block of instruction or a 2 hour block of instruction. The instructor meets that individual where they are, helps them establish goals, and helps them meet those goals along the way. And as you said, the RAC is the Responsibly Armed Citizen criterion. Mm-hmm. This what this show is kind of based on, right? The program is designed to help educate that person and give them and provide them with milestones to meet along the way. And, mm-hmm. and as you said, a path, right, to guide them. That's no different than if you go to a gym. You're going to spend a lot more money going to the gym and expecting results and not getting them, mm-hmm. getting yourself hurt, having to pay for surgeries, yep. that type of thing, than you would if you just spent the money, went in, met with a private trainer, and said, hey, man, I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to bench press, mm-hmm. but I know I really want to be stronger there. Mm-hmm. Or you know what? I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to squats, but I know I don't want a busted back. Mm-hmm. So can you help me with this? And have them help guide you through it enough to where you can go to the gym and do it on your own without having to get yourself hurt.
Right.
It's the same reason why we put together the Responsibly Armed Citizen criterion. It's because so many people will go to that gun store, they'll go buy a gun, buy some crappy holster and a whole bunch of ammo, sit in their backyard and plink all day, mm-hmm. and say they're training.
Or worse yet, you know, something happens and it spurs them to say, okay, well, I need training, even right. though an incident, something has already, you know, spurred them to want to come and seek training in the first place,
right?
So they're reacting instead of being proactive.
Yeah.
You know, that's always heartbreaking to see, but man, it happens all too often. And it tends to happen more frequently around the holidays, around big shopping seasons, things like that. And again, it just, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that another common mistake that folks make when they, you know, first get into our line of work or our line of focus here is when they go out and buy that gun and buy that crappy holster and a whole bunch of ammo, they end up not getting to shoot a whole lot because they put a round through the leg or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they skip the safety skills because they say, oh no, I inherited that because my dad was an underwater scout sniper. You know, like that's not the way this works.
Right.
But they don't see it that way.
Right. Safety and is a skill set.
The folks, right. Yeah. The folks that are, you know, end result focus rather than process focus are just chasing that timer, get to the end of the result as quick as they can, yep. so they can post their Instagram video.
Yep.
Right. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. You can get there much quicker, much more efficient, and much safer if you get the right kind of training. So as far as focusing on skills and stuff, after you've moved on past, you know, learning to be persistent, and learning to be process focused, what's next? What's next? What's the hard skill that the student should be focusing on to be a responsibly armed citizen? What do you think?
I think as far as hard skill goes, when it comes to using a tool, marksmanship, I would say, is probably like right up there as one of the top tier. Before that hard skill, I would focus more heavily on law,
yeah.
right? As far as knowing, like, what can I legally do? What can I not do wherever I live? Mm-hmm. You know, like in say North Carolina, there's a lot of things that, escalation force is a big thing.
Right.
You know, a tool, right? A firearm, you know, is a deadly force weapon. That right. is the last blade, right? That right. is the last thing that you're going to, you know, need.
Right.
You're much more likely to need medical. You're much mm-hmm. more likely to need to understand like the law and
a can of pepper spray,
like a can of pepper spray, right? Than you will with a firearm,
right?
But let's say if we're going to start with firearm, we're going to start with that tool. I would say marksmanship. Marksmanship is ranks very highly with me as far as being able to put that round exactly where it needs to go and nowhere else,
right?
You know, there are consequences for not
right, and you know. When we talk about these skills, folks, you have to keep in mind they have to be measured to some level of success.
Right.
And they have to be realistic. You know, anybody can say that they're a good marksman with a pistol if their target's a barn door.
Right.
Right.
Or 2 foot by 3 foot, right, as, you know, what the state of North Carolina, the B-27, you know, recommends.
Right. But we're not asking you to hit a golf ball at 100 yards with your Glock.
Right.
Either, you know. So there's got to be some standard that is known and well documented, something that's data driven, street proven, that type of thing.
Yep.
To really back your ability to use that firearm. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out what that is. And then there's some great places to look. If you don't want to, you know, come out to Apache, at least visit our website and go look at some of our guest trainers, mm-hmm, and go to their websites and, yep, see what they say. Yep. A lot of them are going to say the same thing as far as their standards go, right, as, you know, their marksmanship standards and that type of thing.
We take a look at Rangemaster, and, you know, a lot of the stuff that Tom puts out is heavily data driven, right? A lot of it comes from the FBI qualifications. A lot of that information comes from, you know, real world, you know, crime statistics. Right. And where he's able to, you know, pull that information, extrapolate that data is from just a lifetime of living it, but also, you know, just being so involved in the industry that he can say, well, you know, this is the information, this is where you go to get the information, and this is what it was for last year.
Right.
You know, in this particular area. Phenomenal resource.
Right.
Phenomenal resource. But, you know, like the FBI qual is really a nationally recognized, you know, qualification that says, hey, this is what, you know, our you know, elite law enforcement agency, this is what they qualify on. So as a responsible armed citizen, that's probably a good benchmark. That's a good place to at least look and at least start.
You know, in terms of like marksmanship and standards, the first two marksmanship is a very, very heavily focused on in the first two phases within RAC.
Right.
The first one is look, can we get you to understand it, and can we get you to repeat it to a high level of success?
Right.
Right. The second phase, marksmanship is really, really heavily challenged, mm-hmm, there, and your competency in that is expected to grow and expand, mm-hmm, and you're expected to do better and be more precise. So it is a refined application of marksmanship in phase two.
Right.
And then after that, it's applied to, you know, the other skills later on in the phase three and phase four.
Yeah. There's so much good things, especially in the REC program. There's so many different skill sets that we can learn out there. Let's continue the conversation, maybe on some classes that are coming up.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show with Tim Kelly and Frank Horvath. And we have been talking about New Year's resolutions, specifically regarding the Responsibly Armed Citizen, for folks who have been training or for folks who have are just now stepping into it, just to get some good ideas on what your focus should be on this year and how to get there. This segment, we're going to be talking about what are some of the classes that are coming up that could help you with your New Year's resolution, and who specifically should you be taking classes from? So what you got, Frank?
So we have a number of classes and things like that through throughout the year that really help with that. So at least at Apache does, or not necessarily Apache instructors are teaching the class. We have a phenomenal array of guest instructors that are coming this year. So, you know, right off the bat, you know, the first thing that we got on our calendar for this year is actually next weekend. So that's our pistol maintenance course.
Right.
So really being able to go through and, you know, take that handgun and learn how to maintain, learn how to field strip, learn how to clean properly, lubricate properly, how to really take care of that handgun. You know, that's really the focus of that. And the cool thing is that's just an afternoon, like, you know,
right,
workshop.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, what, 5 to 8? It's a little it's a 3 hour, you know, block. Yep.
Comfort of our heated classroom.
Our heated classroom, yeah. To be able to sit down and you know, learn and ask questions and dive into that. You know, with you know, experts, you know, armorers who've been there that can, you know, help address things and take care of things. It's not a gunsmithing class. No. I want to make sure that's perfectly clear. It's literally a pistol maintenance class, right?
Right. You know, that spun off of, for the last few years, we've been teaching our Glock familiarization class, right, and, you know, it was specifically around Glocks, but that's just because we have a heavy number of students that sport a Glock handgun for their everyday carry.
Yep.
And so we tried to tailor it towards that. And, you know, it keeps the focus on or revolved around one specific, you know, firearm. And that was great and everything, but what about our students that are carrying Smith & Wessons
right.
and that Walthers, are carrying Walthers? And, yep. You know, so now, last year we've seen a heavy, heavy growth in the adoption of the Walther PDP-F series. You know, so there's quite a few of our students carrying Walthers now. So I just thought it would be a really good idea for us to allow every student, any student that comes out there and trains with us, to start off the year with a clean gun.
That's right.
You know, you're going to be shooting a lot of rounds this year. You know it. It's time to get it clean, time to learn how to break it down. And that's a requirement anyway in phase one of RAC.
Mm-hmm.
So like you've got a great opportunity, and we always have fun, man.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime we do stuff like this, there's, you know, you get to meet so many new people and you know, just the community itself is just an awesome time to go spend a couple hours, you know, and again, in a heated classroom in this cold weather.
And it's a great date night.
Yeah, man.
It really is. You know, so one of the things that I've liked, especially about the other fire maintenance type courses is that, you know, husband and wife can come out, husband thinks he knows a whole lot, and the wife ends up, you know, way outshining the husband.
Yeah.
It always does, because she's a little bit more meticulous, a little bit more clean. Like, it really makes me grin. Moving on, let's see, the 20th of January have a concealed carry class that's coming up. We still have seats available for that. The big January thing that we have is Cecil Burt's. So Cecil is coming. That is the 26th through the 28th. He is coming. We've had him on the calling the show a while back. He's doing his immediate action seminar, right? So that seminar is from 6 in the evening until 9,
so
I think.
On Friday, it'll start in the evening,
yeah.
in the classroom. And Cecil likes to go over like some type of baseline to give you an idea of what to expect over the weekend.
Yep.
And so it's really easy going. It's not, you know, nothing crazy extensive. But he goes into it for a few hours.
Yep.
And then the next morning, it'll start at like 8 or 9,
right.
8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, you'll be there all day. Now, Cecil's class, and we talked about it, as you said, in the last, last year, we talked about it, had him on the show. Cecil's class looks really intimidating by the picture. I've tried to get him to replace that for a long time. You know, people see this, all this guy's on the ground, you know, like there's another dude on top of him. There's mats, jujitsu. No, I ain't going to go get my back snapped, you know, or get put in a headlock or choked out or something like that. This ain't that class.
No. I literally talked to one of the students who's going to be taking the class just before the show, and he was like, I'm a 6-year-old five man. I'm planning on coming up for Cecil's class and need to know where to stay. Like, I mean, real cutthroat. And I'm like, all right, yeah, giddy up. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, this one of the best parts about any of the Shiv Works Collective's style of training, I really appreciate Cecil's approach, is really how to navigate verbal confrontation and how to, you know, to respond to that type of thing, and really to try and just introduce you to that, you know, give you some different ideas of what you might be faced with and how to deal with those situations. It's such an awesome class, man. There's so much great opportunity there. And you can go at your own pace.
Right.
He's not going to pair you up with, if you're a brand new guy, you know, or the gentleman you said that called in, what do you say, 60-year-old fat man?
Yeah, 65-year-old. You know,
Man. He's not going to pair that guy up with some, you know, some young black belt, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu that competes or something like that. He's not going to pair him up. Actually, it'd probably be a great partner. He wouldn't pair him up with a spazzy white belt. That's more appropriate.
Right.
A spazzy white belt, you know, 19, 20-year-old that's going to hurt him. He's been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it very well figured out. And he prides himself in students not leaving his class hurt or injured. So, you know, you get a lot of really good quality training in this. And for those of you that haven't been exposed to ground fighting and that type of thing, or even stand-up stuff, if you've never really been introduced to the fighting sport, this is a great opportunity to learn that in a very safe environment. You know, I tell folks all the time, which one would you – the responses I get from this are hilarious – which would you rather like to happen? Would you rather learn how to get punched in the face by someone who actually cares about you? Or would you rather learn to be would you rather learn about being punched in the face in some dark alley out beside Food Lion? And they're like, neither.
Tim, you can punch me in the face anytime you want.
Yeah, I mean, but I know I don't want to get punched in the face. I know that. I know you don't want to get punched in the face. But I would rather learn that in a controlled environment than in some dark alleyway. 100%. And it's an important lesson to be learned. Having been punched in the face several times, I can tell you it's an important lesson to learn.
And for all of you playing the at-home game, the digital media game, just take a glance at Tim's nose. He's not lying.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
other courses coming up. So that pretty much covers January for now. Now, next month, we got we have some space that we're going to be filling in, but for sure on the calendar we have towards the later end of the month, shotgun maintenance. Zach Cox is going to be teaching that, going through taking your shotguns, how to properly clean those, take those down, etc. And the one that I am probably most excited about is because it's the one that I've signed my lovely spouse up for, is John Willis's gun such trauma class. So that course is going to be it's a real world trauma. Mm-hmm. I took this medical course last year, and it was phenomenal. Really got to John Willis is a paramedic. He was able to go through and say, look, real world wise, this is what we see. This is what you're most likely going to come across. He goes over how to properly address wounds, how to properly apply tourniquets. Again, without this tactical spin on it. It doesn't, and that's the piece that I enjoyed most about it, is it's real world. It's, what's most likely going to happen. Are you're going to be, driving down the road and you see a car accident, or you're involved in a car accident yourself and you need to apply something, or are you going to need to use deadly force?
Right.
That accident, right? Yeah. That accident's way more likely. And, that class, like I said, that real world trauma class is worth its weight in gold. It is, there's so much good information. There's so much value added to that course just from his experience and him being able to say, this is what we see and this is how we handle that. These are some things that you should consider, but stay in your lane.
Right.
Don't kill somebody.
Right.
Right. And that right there, to have somebody look at you in the eye and say, look, you're out of your depth. You brought all of this stuff, right? You went on Amazon, you bought the cheapest med pouch, the cheapest med kit that you could find, and it's filled with crap that'll get you killed.
Right.
John is one of those people who will look at you and say that, and be absolutely serious about it. And that's one of the things I appreciate greatly, not as a friend, but as, a fellow trainer, that, it is what it is, and then also in the class, it goes through, like I said, that gear. He encourages you to bring all your own gear so that we can do exactly that. Say, hey, what do you have? What's in your med kit? Let's assess or if there's any weak points in that. Do you have an IFAC? Do you have something, right? Do you have some sort of medical background when it comes to dealing with firearms? Because look at, let's face it, stuff happens.
Yeah.
If it just takes one person to be complacent and you can have a GSW, a gunshot wound.
Right.
Or what's much more likely to happen is, you rode your grip a little bit high on your beaver tail for your, 9-11, and you got, bit on your hand. So you got a little scratch or something like that. There's just so much, like I said, that I can talk all day about real-world trauma class.
But and I haven't such got, a good course. I haven't had the opportunity to take it yet. I plan on taking this one. I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really interests me, because I know John personally, and I know he's so excited about this. He's very passionate about it. So it's not one great big lecture.
No.
Like if you've taken a Stop the Bleed course, now this is not me knocking Stop the Bleed courses, but many of them are just taught online. Many of them are taught, in the form of a PowerPoint presentation. They talk to you for a few hours, they show you some pictures, and then out the door you go with a certificate in your hand. Mm-hmm. And his sounds like it's rather interactive.
Oh, it's
like you get a lot of hands-on time.
From the very beginning to the very end. There is a section where he shows some actual real-world trauma. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, you are physically doing work the pretty much the entire time.
That's where it's at. Because, I mean, you learn so much more when you get to put your hands on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you really do.
And how you can, and the other neat thing is he shows you safe ways to practice with other people.
Yeah.
You know, because you can get hurt doing this stuff also, but he's mm-hmm. able to go through and say, hey, this is when you feel this, or when this is happening, this is when you need to stop. You know, this, we are training, we're not hurting each other. You know?
Right.
So that is, you know, absolutely worth its weight in gold. And he's able to break out ways of allowing you to practice without breaking the bank. You know, there's all these medical expensive gizmos that are out there, but he's able to say, look, I went and bought this for this, and this is how you use this in this particular way. This is how you practice at home.
Right. I'd say one thing we forgot to mention, in February, our Girl in a Gun chapter
yep.
has their trigger time and the last Sunday of the month. If you're a lady listening to this show and you want to get involved with some other ladies who are like-minded and interested, if you're new, you don't know what you're doing, check them out. Go to a Girl in a Gun's website, looking up the Yakin Valley chapter. Great opportunity to get out here and learn about being a responsibly armed citizen. We'll be right back after this break.
And welcome back. Welcome back to Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. We have had a fantastic show this week, and we are getting into our last segment. Now, we've talked about our New Year's resolutions. We talked a little bit about, you know, what skills should be focusing on as a responsibly armed citizen, and then some of the classes that we have coming up in the next month or so. This month and next month, there's just so much more, right? That we could talk about. There's so many other great classes and things like that are happening throughout the year. You know, if you're a trainer, you know, the IEP, we've opened that up to the public. You know, that's coming here in the coming months. Again, more information on our website about that, and we have a number of really great guest instructors that are coming out this year to do a wide array of classes. Everything from, you know, parents, right? Parents being able to understand, you know, what they need to do, how they need to act, what they need to do with firearms, you know, around their kids, things around uses of handgun and home defense, you know, mm-hmm. around your home, some scenario training type stuff, instructor based training as far as, you know, making yourself a better instructor, a better trainer.
There's competitions.
Yep. There's just so much that's really coming out, and we're really looking forward to, you know, some of the more of the stuff, the more training, you know, and the wide array of that that we're offering this year. So, going on from there, we have our competency of the month, right? Mm-hmm. So, Tim, this year, new year, right? The very first competency of the month of the year. What is our competency of the month for the month of January?
Well, let me tell you about the competency of the month first, so I can really annoy Frank with this. So, our competency of the month is something that we have been doing in-house to encourage the cadre of apprentices and other instructors that work with Apache to try and go out and learn about something and present on a specific topic. And it's meant for the purpose of individual growth and also growth in the group. But we really wanted to share that with you all and challenge you to learn more about this competency and develop yourself as a student of the craft. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about one different topic, one different competency every month. And this month, it looks like John Willis is going to get the spotlight because
That's right.
we're going to talk about the importance of medical training for the responsibly armed citizen.
Huh. Would you look at that? It's almost like I could see ahead of time and talk about
Yeah, man.
So, again, the importance of medical training, you know, for the responsible armed citizen, there is so much that is weighted so heavily on medical training,
yeah.
right? Even if you're not necessarily a medical professional, it is good for you to know how to take care of at least some minor stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it is good for you to know as an everyday citizen, not even a responsible armed citizen, just as an everyday citizen to be able to go, you know what, that arm shouldn't be pointing in that direction. That looks kind of funny. Maybe I should have a rough idea of how to handle that. Or if nothing else, how to communicate effectively to medical professionals like 911 or, you know, service professionals that can come out and handle something like that.
Right.
You know, it would be good for you to understand how to pack a wound. You could literally how to pack a wound properly. You could literally save somebody's life with the proper application of you know, packing wound if you have the equipment on your person or with you to be able to, you know, handle something like that. So what I mean is, stuff happens. You know, if you're at home, you're gardening, right? You're taking care of tree limbs, something like that. And, you know, around here, we call them widowmakers, you know, especially after, you know, winter, you got a bunch of dead branches, you know, strong winds, you know, drop a big branch from way up high, you weren't expecting it, that kind of thing. And, you know, a branch can go right through a person, especially at that high and you know, with, you know, speed and all. Well, if you had the tools, if you had the knowledge to be able to address that quickly, you can keep a lot of that red stuff in you or in a person instead of letting that red stuff get out of a person.
Yeah.
Right. And
let's talk about serious bodily injury for a moment.
Okay. Right?
Serious bodily injury or injuries which have a strong potential to be life-threatening.
Yep.
We're talking like deep cuts, torn members of the body, you know, serious damage to internal or sensory organs.
Yep.
That's quite literally the definition of serious bodily injury. Those all come with, if you're picturing this when I'm describing all of this to you, those all come with trauma.
Right.
Right. Anytime we introduce trauma as a novel stimulus, it ultimately is going to cause all kinds of different emotional responses.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, fear, panic, the freeze, what do? I have no idea what to do with this.
Yeah.
And that can all, because it's so novel to you, that can all complicate the situation even more.
Right.
Or put the person who is injured in more harm because you don't know. And you don't want to try and figure that out right then.
Right.
You know, and so that's why, you know, and it has a lot to do with what we do as responsibly armed citizens. But that's why we promote it so much, is because it's so similar to that response you have to, you know, that you're going to be making should you ever have to use deadly force.
Right.
Really any force, because it all revolves around trauma and how you handle it.
And that's one of that specifically, right? So having that you know, seeing that trauma, being around that trauma is novel. It's one of the reasons why I like John Willis's Real War Trauma Class so well. Again, not promoting gore or anything like that, right? Not promoting just violent images.
Right.
But he's very tactfully and tastefully is able to go through and say, look, here is a traumatic injury. Let's assess this traumatic injury. Tell you a quick story. He ended up teaching his Real War Trauma course, again, last year at my church. And we had like 60-some-year-old, 80-some-year-old ladies. So I'm talking like, what knitting needle ladies, you know, that kind of grandma, right?
Yeah.
That kind of image in your head. And at the start of this, I'm thinking, oh no, this isn't going to be good. We're going to get to like the actual trauma portion of this course, and they're going to check out. They're going to be grossed out, whatever it is. He was able to deliver it so tactfully and so tastefully that these ladies were able to go, so that is a I mean, they just rattled off exactly the kind of injury that John had just taught them it was.
That's
and they
awesome.
Were able to demonstrate and verbally tell, this is how you would handle that particular injury, you know, in that particular case. I mean, just killed it. I mean, crushed it. And we even had somebody who took that course. And at the end of the course, he's like, man, I'll be honest with you. I was only taking this just to support you because, you know, this is something that you're passionate about. I had zero interest in this. And now I'm going to carry a tourniquet on me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I'll go to church. I'll see this particular individual. He pulls this tourniquet out of his pocket. He waves at me, kind of like a hi, you know, that kind of thing. He sticks it back in his pocket. Like that is a habit that has changed for him just because he took that one course.
That's awesome.
And you never know. You know, you never know when he may actually need that, right? But you know, if nothing else, he at least has the knowledge and the skill set to be able to apply that properly,
right,
in the scenario that he would need to do that.
Right.
You know, there's so much. But anyway, going back to that being novel stimulus, you know, the again, not promoting, you know, score, not promoting, you know, just the needless needless to look at that kind of
needless exposure.
But there is an element that is beneficial to being exposed to that in a controlled, safe manner,
right
for the education of
right.
You know, same thing as what we do for when we look at self-defense instances. We end up seeing death, right? That's an unfortunate fact of, you know, kind of what we're looking at and what we do. But we're doing it at through the educational lens of how can our analysis of this prevent that from happening to us or one of our students.
Right.
And really going through and saying, you know, looking at through the lens of the of law, especially laws governing here in the state of North Carolina, how can we better assess this if we were in this situation so that we stay out of jail and so that we make an appropriate reaction so that we can keep our lives.
Right.
You know, and again, it all ties back. It doesn't matter the skill set.
That one word you said, exposure. Exposure is so important. You know, in anything serious like this, especially revolving around some type of real trauma, you take a look at the NBA. No professional basketball team ever goes and plays a game without having scrimmaged before.
Right.
No professional, competent individual who is a fighter, maybe a boxer, ever steps into the ring without having sparred with somebody equal to their skill.
Right.
Just like you should not expect to deal with or want somebody dealing with you has had never had any type of practical application in the skill that they're trying to perform. Mm-hmm. This is so important. You know, you might be able to take a look at a tourniquet and say, I saw this on TV once. Like, yeah, I could figure that out. That's not the person I want putting a tourniquet on me.
Absolutely
if
not.
I need it, you know? And the other thing you need to consider is levels of consciousness.
Right.
A lot of time when you're dealing with trauma, you're dealing with someone that is unconscious and it's just you there.
Right.
That's you. You are absolutely 120% alone in this.
Right.
And you're taking it upon yourself to save this person's life, or you're going to sit there and watch them die.
Right.
And that's just an awful thing. I don't ever want to be put in that situation. That's why I do medical training. That is why I focus on that. I read about it. I learn from people like John Willis and grow in that skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage anybody, especially if you're not, if you're the type of person we haven't convinced you yet to start carrying a gun around to protect yourself, at least do this.
Right.
At least do this, because you could be a huge benefit to save somebody's life one day if you had the right gear and the capability to use it. So go get medical training.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, the other piece of, like I said, the on the medical training side is, again, it's just that knowledge, right? You don't have to necessarily go out and you don't have to necessarily decide, okay, well, I'm going to start carrying this stuff and I'm going to start doing this. I'd recommend that you do. But even if you don't, just like I said, my other buddy who went to church, he had no interest not taking the class. He was really just going to support me. You know, because it was something that's important to me. So he's like, yeah, man, I'll go. Well, he was able to make a drastic change in what he was doing, just because of that.
Right.
So, Tim, we talked an awful lot about Apache. Where can our listeners find out more about us?
Go to ApacheNC.com, NC as in North Carolina. Check out our website. Read a little bit more about us and who we are. You can check out all of our classes, our calendar coming up. You can even sign up for private sessions right there on our website. So go check that out, man.
Excellent. And as always, you can reach out to us at RAC at ApacheNC.com for any questions. And we'll see you guys next week.